Welcome to Have You Heard, the AABP podcast. My name is Dr. Fred Gingrich. I'm the executive director of AABP. The AABP Foundation administers all of the scholarships that are offered to AABP student members. Those scholarship applications are now open for current student members, and they will close on May 31st at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On this episode, Dr. Becky Funk and Dr. Michelle Barrett are going to provide tips for both students as well as members who write letters of reference for those student applications. Stay tuned for more information and make sure, students, that your dues are current and your application is submitted before the deadline. Thank you. Welcome to our show, Becky and Michelle. Appreciate your time today as we provide some guidance to students as well as letter writers for recommendations about our AABP Foundation scholarships. We're going to do some introductions, and let's start with you, Michelle.
Thanks, Fred. I'm Michelle Barrett. I'm a 2009 graduate of Cornell's College of Veterinary Medicine, and I am currently a veterinarian with U.S. Cattle Technical Services at Zoetis. Pertinent to this information, or to this conversation, I should say, I'm also served two terms on the AMSTUTS Committee for AABP.
And our next guest is Becky Funk. Becky, introduce yourself, please.
Hi, thanks for having me, Fred. I am a 2007 graduate of Kansas State University. Currently, I'm on faculty with University of Nebraska Lincoln. I'm officed out in Clay Center at the Great Plains Veterinary Educational Center. And just like Michelle, it's been a few years, but I also served two terms on the scholarship committee.
I want to thank you both for your service to the AMSTUTS Scholarship Committee and the AABP Foundation. Really appreciate it. We have several scholarships that are administered by the AABP Foundation. First, I want to say that these scholarships are funded by member donations, number one. And we also have a couple of scholarships, our Zoetis Foundation Scholarship and Merck Animal Health Bovine Veterinary Student Recognition Award that is funded by our industry partners, Zoetis Foundation and Merck Animal Health. All of the scholarship applications will open on April 1st. That's when we're recording this, is April 1st, and they close May 31st at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. One thing I want to tell our student members, you have to be a current member of AABP to apply, and our dues renewal season is open. So that means make sure that if you want to apply for a scholarship, highly recommend you renew your dues now, because if you wait until the last minute to renew your dues, you will not be updated and you will be unable to complete your application deadline. If you have a technical issue uploading the necessary documents, that should be taken into account because there are no excuses and the portal will close at 5 p.m. Eastern on May 31st. So strongly recommend that you try to finish your application in advance of that date and not wait until the last minute. We're going to start off with Michelle because some students, they may not feel qualified to win an AABP scholarship, or they see a classmate that's the big rock star in their class and they know they're applying for a scholarship, so they don't necessarily think they should. Michelle, what would you say to those students that feel like they may not be qualified?
My advice to them would be apply anyway. And I know that sounds simple, but it's very much the truth. When you look at our profession, there is such a broad range of different jobs and roles and responsibilities, and we need a diversity of students and rock stars, as you say, to fill all those different roles. As reviewers, we look for applicants with a variety of qualities because of that, and we likely see value in more of your experiences than you may even see. As someone who did not grow up on a farm, I can understand that feeling maybe of imposter syndrome. But really, when you look at it, ag experience or maybe other clinical experiences are important to be a proficient veterinarian, but things like personal skills, integrity, work ethic, leadership, and communication skills, and how you treat your peers and farmers, those are the kind of things that we also look for. And I think everyone has a story to tell or an experience that can show that they have those qualities.
Great advice, Michelle. If you're a student AABP member and you're the right grad year, apply for a scholarship. It doesn't take a lot of time, and we will give out well over $300,000 in awards this year at our conference. So thank you for that response, Michelle. Becky, a new feature of the scholarships this year for our Amstutz Scholarship and our Zoetis Foundation Scholarship is students are required to upload a CV or resume into the scholarship application. As a reviewer, what do you want to see on that resume while you're looking at those applications?
So Fred, when I look at those for any scholarship I review, I want to see really what you would be presenting to an employer. So this is a great time to make good use of your time to get your resume or CV in order so that you can apply for jobs later on, but use it in this purpose as well. So be thorough about telling us what your job experiences are. Thorough but concise, right? Just like you were organizing it for a prospective employer. We want a good snapshot of what you've done and what your experiences have been, where you've been, the extracurricular and community involvement things that you've been involved in. All of those things are important. This is a great place to showcase quickly the breadth of everything that you've done in the last few years and give us a good chance to get to know you professionally.
And that's really good. And that's a feature that the committee wanted, the Amstutz Scholarship Committee wanted in these scholarship applications so they could get to know that student better. So use that to help introduce yourself to the reviewers. The other big part of the scholarship application, Michelle, are the questions that the students must answer. And they type an answer into that question box there. And there's a variety of questions that they must answer. We change them up every year or so. What is the purpose of the questions? And what are some things students should consider when they're providing those answers?
Yes, these are questions we actually get quite often about the specific part of the application. These questions, I think, have two main goals. The first is, as Becky and I both reiterated, we're looking to know you as a person and you as a future colleague. And the questions that are in these applications are ones you will be asked as a leader in our profession moving forward. And we want to see your perspective on these topics, understand how you would communicate them to the public, or to your future clients, to another colleague, and see that perhaps you've even done some research on the topic to learn more about it than you know at this current point in time. I also think the second goal is these questions offer us a way to evaluate your communication skills, specifically written communication skills. So considering things you can, things you should consider when answering these questions is actually the format you answer in. We evaluate for, are you making an argument? Do you use supporting points? Do you give a great conclusion sentence? Really thinking about that essay as an essay, not just for the content that you've researched or you've put out there. I think also remember that all of your other applicants have access to Google, right? So you really want to be able to digest the information you might have looked up around this topic and put it into your specific communication about that challenge or concern or that opportunity for cattle practitioners in the future.
Those questions are so important. Students, make sure your grammar and punctuation and spelling is correct.
Yes.
Have someone else review it for you as well. That can be a real turnoff if it looks sloppy. But great suggestions there, Michelle. And the other thing that we require, Michelle, in the application are our letters of recommendation or our letters of reference. Each scholarship has different types of letters of recommendation and reference that they need. All of them require a letter of reference from an AABP member in some capacity. So if you're a student and you're trying to pick somebody to write that letter for you, what are some tips and what are some things that students should consider?
I would definitely start by reading the scholarship application guidelines and making sure you know what that criteria is for that specific application. It is important for a complete application to make sure you have met those guidelines of having at least an AABP member. Some of them require a faculty member as well. And those are the first boxes we look at and check when we're evaluating those letters of recommendation. Beyond that, I think students could really consider, who are the people that are going to be enthusiastic about writing that letter for them? You really are trying to put your best foot forward. And so you want someone who's going to be excited to tell the world about you, who you are as a student, who you are as a person, and who you'll be as a future veterinarian. I know as a reviewer, I really enjoy reading stories outside of the classroom, stories specifically of interactions with clients or interactions with peers, really giving us that rounded view of who you are. And so that's why I think you want to be particular about finding that person who is excited to do that for you. If you're unsure about asking someone, I would politely ask if they're comfortable doing it. The last thing you want to do is ask someone who maybe doesn't know that much about you and doesn't write that strong letter. You may only have one or two letters to support your application. So really think about who knows you and who can speak to things that are going to be outside of that CV you already uploaded, because we're already going to be able to see those details. And then in addition to who to ask, I would also consider potentially providing them with that CV, scheduling some time to sit with them and review some things you're proud of, some things you've been doing, really help them write that strong letter. And most importantly, as you're picking them, make sure you give them plenty of time to spend on that letter, especially because of the requirements. There are some faculty and AABP members that wind up writing a large number of letters, and you want to make sure that you are giving them time to write that customized letter that supports you in your applications. Find someone who knows about you, who supports you, who meets that criteria of the application, and then give them plenty of time to write that stellar letter of recommendation.
That's a great tip. Remember the deadline, May 31st, 5 p.m. Eastern. Don't ask somebody to write it that day. Give them plenty of lead time. If you know you're going to apply for a scholarship and you haven't got the application filled out, you can certainly make those contacts using the tips that Michelle just provided. The other side of the letter of reference, Becky, is the person that's writing the letter of reference. Many of us have written letters of recommendation for a variety of applications, employment, etc. What should we think about as veterinarians if we are going to write a letter for a student, and or even if we decide we shouldn't write for that student? How can that be communicated?
Absolutely. So I'm going to echo from the other perspective a lot of what Michelle just touched on, but first and foremost, when I have somebody ask me for advice on best ways to approach a letter of reference for a student or an applicant that they may be interested in supporting, I do just that. I say, first of all, if you don't feel like you're the best qualified person to do this for them, it is okay to politely decline. It doesn't mean that we don't support that student. It doesn't mean that we don't believe in that student, but it just may mean that we're not the right person for that job potentially. So that's the first thing I always say. And then if you do want to go ahead and provide that letter of reference for that student, I think the biggest misstep or lost opportunity I see when folks write a letter of reference is simply re-summarizing their resume or their CV, or telling me all of the things that are already present in their application that I have access to already. The letters of reference that stand out to me when I review them are those that tell me a story about that student. This is one of the few ways that we have to get to know that student. So tell me about them. If you've had them in practice, tell me why you enjoy having them in practice. Tell me about their soft skills that maybe don't show up on their resume or CV or in their application somewhere. Tell me a story about something they did really well in your practice or in your experience with them. Tell me why, particularly if you would be interested in hiring them, tell me that and tell me why, because that carries a huge amount of impact coming from a colleague when I see them say, I would hire this student in a minute. I hope they're successful in vet school because I want them to come back into my practice. Those are the letters that really blow me out of the water and give me a good look at what those students can do when folks are writing them. The other thing I tell folks when they're looking at writing a letter of reference is don't be afraid to ask them for supporting materials. When I write letters of reference for applications, I will often ask to see their essays and certainly will ask to see their resume or CV just so that I know that I have a good, thorough understanding of, first of all, what they're emphasizing in that application and what their maybe background that I don't know about them. Maybe if they've had jobs that I'm not aware of that I can speak to, again, not necessarily summarizing that resume, but giving me good supportive information on how to structure that letter.
Those are really great tips from both of you. The letters are very important for the reviewers to get another angle on an applicant. And these are competitive scholarships, and they should be. They are pretty significant awards. The Zoetis Foundation scholarship is $7,500. Some of our other scholarships are in the $5,000 range. And then our AmSTITs and Merck scholarships are $10,000 or more. So these are really significant awards, and the application is judged and scored critically. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I want to just tell our listeners, students, everything is under the students menu on the AABP website. So when you go to the students menu, you will see a link for scholarships, and then a submenu will tell you all of the scholarships. So we'd encourage you to go in there, read the landing page for each scholarship to see which one you qualify for. Prepare, reach out to the people that you want to provide your letter of recommendation well in advance. Make sure that your dues are current. And so we are in dues renewal season right now. So when you go to your account, if the expiration date does not say June 30th, 2025, your dues are not current. They expire in June, and these scholarships are given after that. So you need to renew your dues, $30, as soon as possible. There's a link on the website for that for you to renew your dues. So strongly recommend that you do that immediately so that is not the holdup. And then it is up to you to make sure that your application is completed in time. Part of that completion is making sure that the letters of recommendation are entered into the application portal online. We cannot accept an emailed to Fred letter of recommendation. Everyone has to do the same thing. You can track the status of your application by going to the students menu and then go to scholarship grant portal. And when you go to that page, it will list all of the scholarships or externships, education grants that you have applied for. And it will tell you if the person that you selected to input your letter of recommendation has completed that task. Strongly recommend that you check that every week and reach out to that person and make sure they get it done. Make sure that they are aware that it's a 5 p.m. Eastern deadline, and that they submit that well in advance of that deadline in the event of any technical difficulties, an internet outage or anything like that. The deadline is firm. If your application is late or it is incomplete for any reason, you don't have your CV uploaded, the questions are not answered, or the letters of recommendation are not completed by the date and time of the deadline, your application is deleted and not sent to reviewers. And there are no exceptions to that. And each year we have incomplete applications, which is heartbreaking. So just really encourage you. That's why we created that tracking system for you, the student, so you can monitor when those letters are received. You can contact me personally, fred@aabp.org, if you have questions. I'm happy to answer those for you. So after we get these applications submitted, and Fred goes through and makes sure that they're all complete, we now go into the review process, and both of our guests today have participated in that review process. I first want to thank all of the volunteers on our committees, the AmSTITS Scholarship Committee, the Milk Quality and Other Health Committee, the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, our Edwin Robertson Scholarship Selection Committee, and then our AmSTITS Scholarship Committee and Student Activities Committee. Lots of volunteers look at all these scholarships, and the AmSTITS committee looks at our Zoetis Foundation and AmSTITS scholarships. Both of you have been part of that review process. Talk a little bit about what that is. Let's start off with Michelle. How does that work?
First of all, I want to echo your gratitude, Fred, to all the volunteers. I'm not sure all the students or even those that write the letters of reference, realize how much time goes into this process. Once all of the applications are submitted and we identify the complete submissions, volunteers within the committee are assigned a group of applications to review. Now, this may vary from committee to committee, but often each application is reviewed by at least 5 different reviewers according to the specific rubric that's in place for that application. So there's one for the AMSTUTS, there's one for the Zoetis, and there's ones for all the other scholarships you just named. Generally, then the committee chairs get the hard work of collecting all of those scores, which we enter through AABP portal, normalize them to identify those top applications amongst the entire pool. Now, again, just for reference of what this might mean, last year we had great application numbers for all of our scholarships. And for the AMSTUTS committee, I reviewed almost 40 different applications. So depending on your experience within that committee, you might be putting an entire week of full-time work into reviewing those applications, spending the time learning about those students and reviewing those applications. It's a work we love to do and we're passionate about, but there are quite a lot of details and steps that happen once those students submit their applications.
Becky, what are your thoughts on the review process? Any additional comments?
Yeah, so a couple of additional comments I would add. Michelle did a great job at covering the nuts and bolts of how we go through that. The other important thing to keep in mind is we are asked to look through that list of applicants and make sure there aren't any applicants that we have a conflict of interest with. And we are assigned different applicants to look at if that be the case. So essentially, where I'm on faculty with UNL, if we had a UNL 2+2 student in the pool, I am not the person that is reviewing that application. There's too much opportunity there for bias, of course. And the other thing, other kind of quick small points I'd make is Michelle mentioned how many of these we review every year. It is important that attention to detail that you put into your application, that grammar, the spelling, that having somebody proofread, it really does matter because when we're reading that many applications, any little thing is a reason we can shuffle you down the list if that's something that happens to be present. But love reading all these. Always enjoyed it. It's a great way for me to get to know future colleagues. Always blows my mind the incredible things that our students are doing and the letters of reference and the essay questions that we get.
I want to thank both of you for participating in our podcast today and offering this guidance for people that are submitting letters of reference as well as our students that are applying for the scholarship. I want to reiterate that if you are a student, we really encourage you to apply for at least one of the scholarships that we have open right now. Although the competition is tough, you never know what a reviewer is going to specifically look at in your scholarship applications. You cannot win the award if you don't apply. So really encourage you to apply. And then I also want to echo our guests when we're from our people that write letters of reference, make sure that you know that student, that you can provide a good letter of recommendation. If you feel like you cannot, just let the student know that you are unable to do that at this time. And then finally, if you are an AABP member and you want to give back to your organization, this is a great way to do it. You can do that one of two ways or both ways. One way you can do it is by donating money to the AABP Foundation into one of our scholarship donation funds. We have several of them. There's descriptions of the scholarships on the foundation donation website. And we really encourage you to consider a donation when you renew your dues this year. And as I said previously, our dues renewal season is now open. And so when you do submit your dues, you can do that. All of your donation receipts are under your database management page. So if you just hover over your name in the AABP website and click My Donations, you can see all of your donations on there for income tax purposes. The other way you can give back to AABP and the AABP Foundation is time. And as Michelle said, this is a big ask for our volunteers to review these scholarship applications. So if you are interested in joining an AABP committee that does review scholarship applications, the Student Activities Committee and the AMSTUT Scholarship Committee do the bulk of reviewing, and some of the other awards are assigned to specific committees depending upon the scholarship type. but we're always seeking volunteers to review those applications. So you can do that if you go to the committee page on the website and then click on individual committees. You'll see a button that says email committee. If you're interested in joining, just tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to join a specific committee. Always happy to answer questions, but donation of time or money or both is always appreciated. Thank you both, Michelle and Becky, for providing this great tips to students and AABP members. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.